So the, it's, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. And this is Psalm 8, 1, 3, and 4. It says, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. When I consider thy heavens, the works of thy fingers, the moon and stars, which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him? That's exactly the line I want us to think about. What is man that thou art mindful of him? And the son of man that thou visitest him? O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. So I wanted us to think about that line. What are we? That God, we're nothing without the Lord. So hope in thy word is a phrase that I found, and I thought it was actually more than I found it tonight, but it just seems to be cropping up in my devotion, something about hoping in his word or hope or whatever. And it caught my attention one day, just, I don't know why, but it just stood out one day in my devotion. This is, I sound like it's echoing back at me, Gordon, when I'm right at it, okay? And I meditated on the meaning of what it meant. And then Orlean asked me to speak on Wednesday night. And so I asked the Lord to confirm what he would have me to give tonight. And I couldn't get away from this thought, because I had it again in my devotion. Several times I had this thought. And I also heard it read in a meeting, in our meeting. I don't remember if it was, I think it was Orlean that read something along those lines on a Sunday morning just a couple of weeks ago. And so here we are tonight. So hope, I looked it up, and it's defined as a feeling of expectation and desire for a certain thing to happen, looking for, and it is a feeling of trust. So we're going to go to Psalm 71:5. First, we will be kind of going back and forth a little bit for just a little bit, but bear with me. And I hope you receive a blessing. I know I've had a wonderful time studying, and there's just too much. I can't give it all in one night. So Psalm 71:5 is where we'll start. For thou art my hope, O Lord God. Thou art my trust from my youth. We can say, as the psalmist does, that he is our hope. He is our desire. He is our expectation. He is our longing. He is our yearning. And then as I was starting to think about this, Gordon, Sunday morning, and he was talking, I thought, how are we able to hope in the Word of God? So then I started searching about that. So I asked Orlean to pray for me. I said, the Lord gave me a thought, and I said, it's much broader and much bigger than what I had originally planned. And so these thoughts come to mind is, how are we able to hope in the Word? And then, have you ever asked this question, or have you ever heard of this? What is the purpose of life? What is the purpose of my life? Has somebody asked you, I don't know why I'm even here. I don't know, you know, have you ever asked anybody, what is your purpose? You know, well, the Word tells us. Psalm 86:12. Psalm 86 and verse 12. I will praise thee, O Lord, my God, with all my heart, and I will glorify thy name forevermore. Our purpose is to glorify God. And the only way to understand how we're able to do this is to look at why we are created. So I want to go all the way back to Genesis 1. Genesis 1 and verse 26 and 27. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. We are created in the image of God. Jeremiah 1:5. Jeremiah 1:5. And I had written out these verses for my kids when I was planning their graduation books, but it really became more meaningful as I was doing this study. Jeremiah 1:5, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Now, like Jeremiah, we can say God knew us before we were even formed. Now we're going to go back to Psalm 22:10. I was cast upon thee from the womb. Thou art my God from my mother's belly. I don't think I need to say anything more. Now let's go to Psalm 139:13. Let me know if I'm going too fast. I'm trying not to. Psalm 139:13. For thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. One last one along this thought is Isaiah 44. Isaiah 44 and verse 2. Thus saith the Lord that made thee and formed thee from the womb, which will help thee. Fear not, O Jacob, my servant, and thou, Jeshurun, whom I have chosen. God knew us before we were even formed. God knew us while we were being formed. Now, why would God have created man? Why would he make a point to let us know how intimately he knows us? Because you can't get more intimate than knowing I knew you before you were formed, before you were even thought of. I knew you. You can't get more intimate than that. We find out why. We're going to go back to Genesis. Genesis chapter 3. You can read the whole story about Adam and Eve, but this stood out to me as to why God created us. Verse 8 of chapter 3. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. We read that God walked in the garden. And Adam and Eve knew his voice. How did they know his voice? Because they recognized it, because they had heard it often and they knew it intimately. God desired their fellowship. But the difference is at this time, there was fear. And why was there fear? Because sin had entered. And now that fellowship was broken. God desires fellowship with us. He was not taken by surprise when the fellowship was broken with Adam and Eve. That did not stop his loving us and wanting fellowship with us. He already had a plan of restoration before that even happened. And what was that plan? It was Jesus. Now, Gordon read this on Sunday morning. And this is what gave me the thought about all of this. This is what started this line of thinking. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 9. God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. He calls us into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ. Believe it or not, everybody on this planet has been called. Revelation, and it's in the Word. Revelation 5:9. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. The word would not say that if God had not been proclaimed to every kindred, tongue, people, and nation. Everybody has had that call. Does everybody heed the call? Let's look in Acts 28. Acts 28, 23 and 24. Now this is when the apostle, they told him in 22, they said, "But we desire to hear of thee what thou thinkest. For as concerning this sect, we know that everywhere it is spoken against." So that in 23, "And when they had appointed him a day, there came many to him in his lodging, to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets, from morning until evening." I want to stop there for a second. Many came, and he testified of God. And he persuaded them. I mean, he was, I guess, fervent in what he had to say. And he was, you know, I remember talking to my uncle. I was fervent in finding out if my uncle knew Jesus. And I can only imagine that if I wanted to know that, Paul was even much more so. But in 24, it said, "And some believe the things which were spoken, and some believe not." God does not force us. We have the ability to choose. How are we called? Let's look in Galatians 1, 5. Galatians 1 and verse 5. Oh, 1:15, I'm sorry. Did I have? Yeah, I was looking at the wrong verse. I knew that wasn't right. Galatians 1:15. "But when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace," it's by the grace of God that we are called. It's a free gift. All we have to do is lay hold. And what are we called into? We're called into 1 Peter 5 and verse 10. "But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you." We are called to eternal life by Christ Jesus. We can all say John 3:16. This is the plan that God had before the world was even formed. I want to start in verse 16. "For God so loved the world that he created," the world that he created, that turned their back on him. "He loved the world so much," I'm adding, "that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already." This is a verse that I used with my uncle. I said, "You believe on him, you are not condemned." I was able, when my uncle told me, "I know Jesus," then I said, "You are not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil." The old creation, if they don't accept Christ, their deeds are evil. "For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, That doesn't mean that we don't make mistakes. We have that old creation in us. But it's not the same. It's not the same. Neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. They don't want to give up those things that they are doing. Verse 21. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. God loves man so much that he provided a way to restore lost fellowship. If we accept Christ, and I believe all of us here have, and we are in fellowship with him, then John 10, I won't read this whole chapter, but I'm going to read quite a bit of it. But John 10, starting with verse 1, has a greater meaning to us. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. There's only one way to come, and that's through Christ. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. This is what I want to get. When we are in tune with Christ, we are yielding to him, and we are in fellowship with him, we hear his voice. And then this is what struck me. And he calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. He knows me. He knows each one of us individually. He knows our name. We had goats. They had names. I knew them by name, but you know what? They wouldn't follow me very much. If they wanted to do something, they did. The only way I could get them to not do their deed was I had to have a food bucket. It's the only way I could get them to follow me. You know, Jesus is like that with us sometimes, you know. Sometimes the only way we can get back on track with him is he has that feed bucket following. But those goats knew our voice. They would be in their houses, and we had one that we bottle fed. And one night, we were out later, it was dark when I got out there, and I went out there with his bottle, and he was back in the pile of the goats in the house. And I called his name, and he climbed over all the goats. He was the only goat that came out, but he knew my voice. Jesus is like that with us. Sometimes we may be the only one coming out, but we know his voice. Verse 4, and when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. You know, anybody that has animals, you know that a lot of times they won't go to somebody they don't know. But somebody's voice that they know, they'll go to him right away. And that's how it is with us. We know the word. You know, like I know that Erlene and Gordon has said many times, and I know Jack has said it and others, that we don't have to study the counterfeit to know what's error. We have to know the truth. That way when we hear error, we know that it's not right. So we don't study. We don't have to study all these other things that are wrong, because we're just going to get confused. But if we know the truth, we're going to flee from it. Then I want to skip down to verse 7. Then Jesus said unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is a hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. He knows us, and we know him. As the Father knoweth me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it up again, take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. Jesus, from the very beginning, was willing to come and be the plan that God had to restore our fellowship with him. He knew his purpose. His purpose was to take our place on the cross so we could be restored to fellowship with the Lord. I want us to get back down to 25. Jesus answered them, I told you and you believe not. So from our own word of our Lord, they believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me, but you believe not. They had the physical evidence in front of them of the works that he had done, and they still didn't believe him. And why? Because you are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. They had rejected him. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Anyone who has believed on the Lord Jesus has the fellowship restored, and we can know the voice of our beloved shepherd. And it is only through Jesus that we can begin to understand the meaning of hope in thy word and how this glorifies God. And that's what I have tonight. And trust the Lord, and Lord willing, we'll continue. There is so much in here. Just so much.